kind of kick off the show here.
We're agreeing!
So cleaned up.
Alrighty, Bills Mafia, what is going on? Welcome to the Mafia Cast. With us today, of course, our fellow hosts, Mike and Casey, but we got Nate, Gary in the house today. How you doing, Nate?
I'm doing well, fellas. Thanks for having me.
No, appreciate you coming on. Mike, Casey, how you guys doing?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Getting gotta be honest, it's a victory Thursday. I'm not too far west of New York right now, I have to say.
Yeah. We just got cold weather here.
Buffalo brethrens, but oh, I'm sorry, but they can keep it.
Nate, how's the weather treating you where you're located?
It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. It just won't stop snowing. I'm in the city, but I'm like just kind of south of the city, not exactly South Buffalo, not exactly downtown. So, you know, I think we got about 55, 60 inches of snow. I've had to, luckily I live in a building where, you know, most of our snow removal is taken care of, but, you know, I waited, you know, I did that thing that most Buffalonians know better not to do, or at least have a parent who is like, don't do this. Don't be that guy, where they, you know, have their tires. I really needed two new front tires before the winter started. So now I have four-wheel drive and it's basically useless because my two front tires are basically NASCAR tires. So it's not a great situation downtown, as you know, as I'm sure you guys see on social media. The side streets down here in the city do not get a lot of love. So it's a combination of lots of snow, street neglect, and general tire neglect on my part. So overall, you know, cocky winter for me, no doubt.
Got the old combo platter there going on.
That's right.
Well,
that's
right. In your defense, this winter has not been bad pretty much until this past week at all. So, like, I can't say I blame you too much for only going halfway on the tires.
Yeah, and let me tell you this. It's been, like, an insanely mild winter, to say the least. And so you get cocky, right? You're like, all right, well, it's not going to snow. And man, we're January 10th and we've gotten like 5 inches of snow all winter. And then I'm supposed to be in Las Vegas right now. There's a really good chance with seven. So it's about 4 o'clock. I should be getting off about the 17th or 18th green right now at some golf course in Las Vegas. But you know what? I'd rather be here with you guys. So
awesome.
You don't have to lie to us like that, man. I'd rather be here. Are you kidding me? I had the opportunity to golf December 16th on my birthday, and I'm so sad I didn't get to take that opportunity. The fact that you're not able to golf in Vegas right now, oh, my God. My heart feels for you, man.
Yeah, you know what, though? I'll, in the long run, I'll end up saving a lot of money at the poker tables and the blackjack tables and all the alcohol that I would have consumed over the last 4 days. So I count it as a blessing in disguise for my bank account, you know?
Dude, I 100% agree. Absolutely.
Yeah, but Casey loves golf enough to go do it anyway.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
That. I live over here in Idaho. We've got about a foot on the ground. And we've just been sitting here for the last half hour talking about getting ready for the show. And I've been sitting out here watching people get stuck in this foot of snow and spinning their tires. I was just telling these guys a while ago, because my not living there, my thought was always that because you guys should be used to that, at least the city should be used to this kind of weather, that they do a better job of clearing the streets. And what it sounds like, that's not the case.
No, you know, you can get to like the suburbs of the city, Kenmore, Tonawanda, the Kenton area. You know exactly where the city and Kenmore are split. Like one side of hurdle will be completely plowed right to the pavement, perfectly salted, like there's been no snow and just rain. And then the other side won't have any plowing done whatsoever. So it's a City of Buffalo thing. They don't particularly like I'll sit here and you guys will not hear one plow go by. And my window's right next to the street. You will not hear one plow go by during the show. If it does, I'll give a listener $100 just for the sake of being wrong, which listen, I'm wrong a lot. So I bet you there's probably in 2 minutes, there's going to be a plow that passes back here. But no, it's this thing in the city. I don't know. We just don't really get the, they know it's coming, but for whatever reason, I don't know if they don't have enough plows, enough workers. I know I sure as hell I ain't going out there to do anything about it. So I guess I can't complain too much, right? Because I'm not helping the matter much.
Yeah, yeah.
So it Derek, sounds like
it's
the,
not Iowa, it's Idaho. I'm in Idaho.
Same thing. There's two states starts with I. I mean, that's the same thing.
Pretty much. But it sounds like, you know, the towns are just as good at clearing out snow as like the state as Highmark was. So at least we know it's all consistency.
We don't utilize volunteers in the towns, in the suburbs, though. They do pay people to do that, luckily. Well, not I shouldn't say. I mean, obviously the bills are paying people. But, yeah, I'm surprised we've gone this long. Like, obviously, I think this week everybody saw those videos and pictures from Lambo, that contracting company that comes in with those big – those, like, snowblowers that fit perfectly down the aisles. I have no idea how we've lived here this long and we have not invested in some sort of – wild technology called the snowblower. So that's a wild thing for me.
Well, maybe this is the one that'll do it for you, and they'll get those going for you guys.
I'm not holding my breath.
No.
The new stadium, the snow will pictures, be a little easier, right?
That's no, right. Snow won't easily be able to get in there as much as it's been. So that's
but it will.
It inevitably will.
Exactly.
That is true. Speaking of the new stadium, have we had any sacrifices this week yet that we were aware of?
You know, okay. I don't know. That's a good question. So because I was supposed to be in Las Vegas on Monday, I called my boss in the morning. I woke up. I said, flight got canceled again. So if you need me to work, like, you know, I can do my normal shift. And he said, no, I mean, like, we got you covered, you know, unless you want to come in and co-host a post game. I'm like, nah, I'm good. I will find me some tickets to this game and I'm going to go. We tailgated like kind of right next to where the new stadium is. So when we walked up to the stadium, we had to walk past. And it felt like I definitely saw some people kind of like eyeing it. Like, how hard would it be to get over the fence kind of thing? But I can tell you from my perspective, I had zero interest even walking anywhere near it or peeping over the fence. You know, I've got bad knees and bad ankles. I wouldn't survive a fall like that, you know.
Not like the people that had to find out how deep it is for themselves.
Right. Or, you know, listen, I mean, you know, I don't know what kind of the first guy that sacrificed himself was like on LSD and mushrooms and beer. I mean, that's you know, quite literally, that's quite a trip that guy's taken. I'm not sure that I don't know about you guys. I like to enjoy a couple of beverages before a Bills game and during a Bills game. But I've never heard of LSD and mushrooms before a Bills game before. Yeah. And then, you know, dosing yourself in human feces that aren't yours. That's a real I like to call those super fans. That guy's definitely going to be on the Wall of Fame someday.
Oh, for sure. Definitely.
Yeah.
Let's first of all, let me address Warren's comment here. Idaho, I'm assuming a big potato state. I know nothing. Most people don't know anything about Idaho. Yes, we have some potatoes around here. I guess probably the only other thing that we might be known for is the blue turf. But
that's yes, about that's it. Right, Boise. Blue turf. Yeah. Boise.
Yeah.
That's blue about it. Potatoes. That's all I know.
What we got.
That's all I know about Idaho. Boise State, Kellen Moore, and potatoes.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's fine. That's all we need. Let's jump into the game, Bills and Steelers, really quick. I don't want to spend too much time on this because, you know, most of the podcasts throughout the week have already kind of beat this game up and dove into it. So I'm just going to ask a kind of a quick question of all of you guys and kind of really quick, what was your takeaways? What coming out of that game concerns you the most aside from the injuries, but also coming out of the game, what gives you the most optimism moving forward? We'll start with, you know, Casey, you first.
I mean, no turnovers. That's always going to be a positive. You know, Josh really took care of the ball. The only ball that really made my heart skip a beat was the jump pass that went off the running back's hands and that got popped in the air. I mean, but that can happen on any play. You know, one batted ball turned into an interception. But he didn't really put the ball in harm's way too much, and Josh didn't put the ball in harm's way too much. I was really happy about that. I mean, Trent Sherfield, you know, stepped in, played a solid game for Gabe. He didn't have Gabe's, you know, playoff game, but he had Gabe's regular season games, you know, about through half the year. So we didn't miss much, too much there. I mean, obviously Khalil Shakir, speaking of Boise State, our guy just continues to grow and just be that wide receiver that we all thought he could be, and just the steal that he was in the fifth round. So overall, I mean, I'm happy with how the offense ran and like just the efficiency of it.
How about you, Casey or Mike?
Oh yeah, I agree. I mean, we've been rolling right several games now. So there's no reason to not feel confident. But you know, the things that worry you is the typical, you know, Bills beating themselves things. You know, we hope, like Casey said, turnovers and flags and special teams doesn't become an issue. It's definitely a bigger game than the Steelers game. They're a tougher competitor. They got a better, way better defense. So protect that ball. The turnovers and flags are always huge to me. I know people are, you know, chatting a little bit around the Twitterverse of Sean Hockley's crew going to be in town and this and that. And hopefully the refs don't, you know, screw us over or whatever. But you got to, in this league, if you don't want to get a flag thrown on you, don't do anything. I've said it time and time again, just don't do anything that they can call or throw a flag for, you know, if you could help it. But, you know.
Well, I think they just need to put a big enough lead. They don't have to worry about it.
Exactly. That's, right? That's what I'm kind of getting
at. Don't let
here.
It come down to one or two calls.
Right. It can't just be a 7-point game. You know, we want to get up 10, 14, 17 points. Keep it there. I know we can do it. Everyone knows we can do it. You just got to play our cards right, and hopefully everything works out.
Yeah. What about you, Nate?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a lot of good pot. Listen, I think I feel good that it wasn't like a grind it out. I was super nervous the whole time, like the Chargers game or, you know, kind of like the Patriots game at the end. You know, it ends up being a 2-score game, but and I know they were within 1 score in the fourth quarter, but I never really started like biting my fingernails or anything. Like, they took care of business against an inferior opponent. And obviously the injuries are kind of the main focus of this. And I think rightfully so. And, you know, I think losing Terrell Bernard, who, you know, frankly has really been in a lot of ways, in almost every way, better than Tremaine Edmonds. And, you know, I know not everybody believed that Tremaine would be a huge loss for them, but that's a guy that, you know, plays a lot of football for this, played a lot of football for this team, that didn't miss games, was always available, and had an impact that was maybe bigger than the stat sheet. And then, you know, I think people like me who valued him outside of what he did in the box score came to really appreciate what Terrell Bernard, especially with no offseason. I mean, not no offseason, but no real preseason, you know, having that hamstring injury and kind of that Mike linebacker position being in limbo and in flux until week one. And I mean, he fit in very well, and it just ended up being a seamless transition. And frankly, again, I mean, he just impacts the game in a very different way than Tremaine had. So losing him and potentially missing him for this game would, I think, be a huge loss for the Bills. But I think overall, like I think about the offensive side of the ball, I know one of you guys just mentioned Khalil Shakir, and you know, that's not a guy that I necessarily thought would be having the impact he's having right now earlier this season. I could tell you that going into the season, I was pretty concerned about him being this team's wide receiver 3. I was kind of maybe penciling Deontay Hardy or Trent Sherfield into that role, and that just didn't obviously come to fruition. And Khalil Shakir has played himself and has earned every bit of praise and every bit of playing time that he's been getting, and targets, frankly. So, you know, he's been a really, I think, a good step forward for what this offense needs in terms of player development. And obviously, you know, Dalton Kincaid. And so seeing, I think maybe the best thing I took from that game was seeing the other pieces, the complementary pieces, stand out. Seeing, you know, Dawson Knox get the first touchdown, Dalton Kincaid lead the team in receiving yards in this game, and obviously Khalil Shakir having the I think the difference in this game, which was just an unbelievable play after the catch. I think the complementary pieces for this offense continue to sort of stand out, which I think any team that's going to make a Super Bowl run, you can't always rely on your fastball, right? You've got to be able to rely on some of your off-speed pitches, and I think the Bills have developed those things, especially in the month of December, and I think it's a big reason that they went on the run that they did, is that they could start relying on other guys not named Stephon Diggs.
Mm. I'm glad, as you mentioned all the different players that, you know, we've been getting involved. It just brings me back to the very first drive of the Bills Steelers game, and how we came out with a 5-yard pass, Khalil Shakir, and then, you know, James Cook running and just got everybody involved, Dalton Kincaid, and, you know, everything was perfect. I don't think anyone dropped a ball, nothing. There was no missed passes. It was just a commanding drive and just took control. And that's really what you like to see opening a game.
And meanwhile,
all
these complimentary pieces got theirs. Wild Diggs still got his catches and yards. Yeah. You know, so, like, it goes to show you that everybody can get the ball. And that's something, like that Nate said, it seemed like we have been the last year or two have been relying too hard on Diggs. You know, I understand, like, he can handle it. He's a great player, great wide receiver. But if we can alleviate some of the pain off of him and off of Josh running with James Cook, get Kincaid going again, Gabe Davis, get him hopefully ramped up this week. I don't know, though. It's really nice that this past game really showed everybody can make an impact all in one game.
Yeah.
And the thing with Shakir, what we're seeing, what you guys are seeing out of him now is what we saw here in Boise. We saw from him before, because his rookie year, it did look like he was trying to make plays and trying to just catch the ball. And it did result in some miss and some drops and things like that. Now you're seeing him just go out there and play his game and do some of the things that I've known that he can do since the day we drafted him. And even the beginning of the year, when I know a lot of people were kind of on him, and everybody was talking about putting Kincaid in the slot position and this and that. For me, like, it's super exciting to see him, you know, kind of getting going. And you're right, this team has so many more weapons now that defenses can't just simply go into a game plan and say, we're going to double Stephon Diggs or bracket coverage him or you know, take him out of the game, and that's all we got to do, because that's just not the case anymore. Casey, you mentioned a while ago Gabe Davis, so I think that's a perfectly way or segue into the injury situation. I do know Gabe Davis didn't practice today. Rasul Douglas did, Dotson did, and then the other Johnson. Taron Johnson is progressing. He's in the red non-contact jersey, but he's progressing. Sounds like he's probably going to play. To me, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong or what you think, but to me, getting those three guys back is obviously, it's huge, but I think it's so big in the fact that I think this defense can be successful and do what they need to do with those three guys, even if we don't have Bernard in the game, because we got Daquan Jones back in the middle of the defensive line now. And with these other guys, I think the defense will be able to do what they would need to do.
I mean, this whole year is seemed like. I mean, I know you're not a big fan of rotating players in and out, but we've kind of just been riding the wave and doing what we need to do, and it seems that, like, no matter who you throw in there, they're out there making plays.
Yeah, they've definitely been the epitome of next man up for sure, no doubt. What do you think, Nate?
Yeah, listen, I mean, they've lost a lot of games for a lot of these players. And, you know, I think it's part of the reason why I have sort of evolved my opinion of Sean McDermott is, I think, as much that his evolution, his development as a coach, as a defensive play caller this year, considering the injuries that have taken place and the injuries that they've had to overcome. It's why, you know, I think I went from being a guy that thought maybe that he had sort of maximized this roster that he had ceilinged out, especially after that Denver Broncos game, right? Like, I think a lot of people were wondering, you know, is this kind of going to be the game that you look back and say this is what cost Sean McDermott his job? And I think you see this team go on a run. And listen, this was a team that really from September on did not win back-to-back games. There wasn't a lot of evidence that this was a team capable of going on the run that they were going, that they've ultimately gone on at the end of the year. A lot of that has to do, I think, with Sean McDermott understanding the new pieces in his defense. I it's hard to really overstate how good of a job defensively play calling he has done this year, and the evolution of this defense and the improvement of this defense from the first couple of weeks after London, where, you know, it looked like this defense was going to just disgustingly miss Matt Milano and Daquan Jones, to a defense that is starting to find its way. And then you integrate Rasul Douglas, who just absolutely walks in off the bus on a short week and can immediately start making an impact. And you see Dane Jackson walk in, start making an impact. You see Kyer Elam, who's had one game this year, come in and make an impact in a playoff game and make an interception in a huge play. And I think it speaks a lot to the next man up mentality this team preaches, but I think a lot of it also goes to the behest of, you know, Brandon Bean as well, who does a great job drafting, and this coaching staff does a great job developing. So I think they're more equipped than ever to overcome the injuries that they sustained. However, if you've got AJ Klein and Dorian Williams on the field, I mean, that's your fourth and your fifth linebacker. Those are really difficult losses to overcome for any team. So I think at the end of the day, they're going to need to get lucky here. They're going to need a Taron Johnson back. They're going to need a Rasul Douglas back. Maybe necessarily looking good for Christian Benford. But I think if you get Johnson, Rasul Douglas, and, you know, some of these guys back, I think you got a real good opportunity against the Chiefs offense, again, that has really struggled all year. And I know they get their win last week at home in Arrowhead in one of the coldest games really ever played. They scored 26 points against a Dolphins defense that was down to, you know, I mean, street free agents the week before playing defensive end. And, you know, a Duke Riley that, you know, I think if you ask Dolphins fans right about now, they're ready to cut bait on. So, I think this is a gettable Chiefs offense. There's no doubt about it. I thought the Bills did a good job the first time around, and they'll have to do an equally good job this time. I think a lot of people are making this game out to be, you know, Mahomes, Allen 3.0, or however many, you know, matchups these guys have had ahead. But this is the first real matchup between Sean McDermott and Andy Reid. Both guys are calling plays. Andy Reid obviously has been the offensive coordinator, but the primary play caller in Kansas City since he's gotten there. But obviously, no Eric Bieniemy. More of the offense and more of the burden, I think, has fallen on Andy Reid. I think they miss Eric Bieniemy, by the way. I think it's one of the reasons their offense has not looked the same this year. But secondarily, this is going to be the first matchup between these two in the playoffs. Now, I thought Sean McDermott got the better of the Kansas City Chiefs the first time around in the regular season in Week 14. But this is going to be the first time in the playoffs where there is no scapegoat. There's no Leslie Frazier. There's, you know, this is Sean McDermott's defense. He's going to have his fingerprints all over the game plan. And, you know, I think you're going to see quarterback mano a mano, but I also think you're going to see head coach mano a mano. And what I think is, you know, one of the best play callers for offense. And I think right now, the best play caller on defense in the league.
And that might be the bigger matchup, quite honestly, because those two are literally going head to head. The whole QB versus QB thing is, to me, overblown, because we know they're not going into the octagon and they're not going toe to toe. It's just not how the game works. It's Allen versus the Chiefs defense, and, you know, with Mahomes and Buffalo. So I do agree. I think that the ultimate matchup does come down to the two coaches and who can basically outcoach the other. It's going to be a great game. Definitely looking forward to it. I wanted to really quickly, Derek Warren in the comments asked about Leonard Fournette being released. I don't have any guaranteed insights on that. However, it did seem to me that he was basically the casualty of needing to bring in another punter. So, and that's basically the only reason for that, because of the Sam Martin injury. But the injury report today, I believe Sam Martin is limited. So there's still a chance that Martin will be punting on Sunday for us. There's one guy from the Chiefs side that's coming back. And I want to hear what you guys think about him and the potential impact he has, and that's Isaiah Pacheco. He wasn't there the first time we faced them. For me, watching that guy run, I've heard this over and over again, he runs like he's angry at the ground. That's a good way to describe it. What do you guys think about him coming back? How much of an impact do you think he will have on this game? I'll start with you on that, Casey.
I mean, Pacheco seems to really be the catalyst for their offense this year. They've really thrived in the play action. I mean, Pacheco being able to run the ball effectively, it's the same thing as, you know, what we've been screaming for the last couple of years, get Josh run game, be able to open up the play action pass. The Chiefs did it, but they did it a year quicker than the Bills did, you know, with getting Pacheco. Look what Mahomes has been able to do. Does he have the same numbers that he had when he had Tyreek Hill? No, but he's still considered, if not the best quarterback in the NFL. It's just one of those things. Like, it's Pacheco scares me, but like, our defensive line is so good. Like, especially the interior of the defensive line, and our defensive line is very good at stopping the run all the way around. So if we can really make them one dimensional, and then, you know, bracket, you know, Travis Kelce, then yeah, I can really see like our defense being able to shut them out, but really slow them down. But I think it really does rely on slowing down Isaiah Pacheco and turning them one dimensional.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things that you just said, as far as, if I could really quick, Mike, you made a comment about bracketing Kelce. There's one guy on that offensive side that, for me, Douglas, I was really hoping Rasul Douglas would make it back in time for, and that's Rashee Rice. Rice is starting to come on as of late, mm-hmm. finally giving them a weapon that they can utilize. And I think getting Douglas back, I can almost see those two going head to head all night long. And that's going to be another key matchup. And one that I think Douglas, especially being the vet, right? Rashee Rice is a rookie. He hasn't been here before. Rice has done this. This isn't his first rodeo, his first playoff. So I think, to me, that's a big matchup, because if you can take Rice out, or at least limit it, then with the one guy, then yeah, you can focus the defense on Kelce and stopping the run. And you're right, with Daquan Jones and Oliver in the middle, Greg Rousseau has become one of the better run stoppers in the league. I'm with you there. Go ahead, Casey or Mike.
I just wanted to say that what worries me with Pacheco is, we're talking about our defensive line and all that. But what worries me about him is his ability to stretch the field horizontally. I feel like a few times this season we have been beat around the edge by some fast running players. So that's going to be a huge thing. If he does end up doing well against us, I see him running, you know, sort of outside, turning the corner and getting upfield. That's the only thing that worries me. But obviously, when you're trying to, you know, stretch to cover all that, you know, it does open up the middle a little bit. So I focus on the outside, and then, you know, hopefully, you know, we can adjust and collapse inside when we need to.
Yeah. What do you think, Nate?
Yeah, I think both these teams, really, since Patrick Mahomes has gotten in the league, I mean, they've drafted a running back in the first round. The Bills have drafted a running back in the second and two in the third. Both of these teams have been sort of searching for a run game. And I want to say this is the first year both of these quarterbacks have had a consistent run game with a player that's in the top 10. I mean, both these guys, 4.7 and 4.6 yards per carry, respectively, for Cook and for Pacheco, that have had an impact in the run game. And, you know, frankly, in the pass game, both guys with 44 catches as well coming into this game. So these are both guys that are dual threat running backs. You know, I think in that first matchup that James Cook really had, you know, especially, you know, he had the touchdown catch up the middle of the field, probably should have had another one in that game too. Mm-hmm. I keep thinking about when I think about Pacheco, I think the offense definitely plays and runs through him. He's been one of the more consistent pieces for this offense all season long, especially as they've found some things working in their pass game, as you guys just mentioned with Rashee Rice. I mean, that's a player that they were desperate for somebody at the wide receiver position to step up. And yeah. Listen, I mean, he stepped up, and I think Travis Kelce has taken a step back. I mean, it's pretty obvious to me he's taken a bit of a drop in terms of production and to overall athleticism. And I mean, he's 33 years old. It's gonna happen.
Right.
It's the Taylor Swift effect, right?
Yeah.
Definitely. Taylor Swift has a lot to do with it, I would guess. Yeah. But the one thing I think you can do you know, I know a lot of people talk about, you know, trying to slow down this running game or trying to take, you know, Pacheco out of it and make him one-dimensional. I think the best defense you can have against their running game is an effective offense. And getting up early in this game, I think, will for whichever one of these teams is going to be a huge, I think, like recipe to victory. Because if you can take the Bills out of, you know, running the football with James Cook, and if you can take the Chiefs out of running the ball with Isaiah Pacheco and turn them one-dimensional, that means your team likely has gotten up and gotten up early. So I think that's the kind of recipe for me anyways. If you want to take this running game out of the hands of Isaiah Pacheco, it's get to an early lead and turn this team into a playing from behind pass happy team, because I don't think either of these teams play particularly well from behind. But if I had a team that I think is most prepared this year to play from behind, it is the Bills.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, John Robert in the comments brought up Osiris Torrence has played every snap this season, and that is an accurate statement. Is there any concern that, well, I'll say this, to me, that is one concern, is Torrence and McGovern versus Chris Jones. Chris Jones is the type of defensive lineman that can wreck the offense if they don't have an answer for him. And Torrence started off, I feel like, the season pretty well, and it does seem like he's kind of hit a little bit of a wall here down the stretch. And is between Jones and Karlaftis, I think they have a front that can make it kind of difficult. But is that a concern for you guys? Do you think our offensive line can hold up to them just fine and give Allen plenty of time to make plays?
Yes. Yeah, I do. I do. I had some notes on the last matchup between the Chiefs and the Bills, thinking that Josh should get the ball away faster in a few situations. But you see, like, what our offensive line did, like, against the Cowboys. Like, Micah Parsons, his stat line was zeros. So I do think we have the capabilities. Osiris Torrence, like you said, he started doing really well. He kind of put himself on notice, I guess. You know, teams started looking out for him maybe. And sort of focusing on that because he has been doing so well.
What do you think, Casey?
I mean, like Mike said, look at what this offensive line has done against, like, the great defensive linemen in this season as a whole, between Max Crosby, you know, I mean, well, we didn't get to play TJ Watt, but Cameron Hayward. It's just all these guys, and nobody's really wrecked a game yet from the defensive line perspective. But, like, at the same time, Osiris is young. McGovern, you know, he has experience, but, like, is he ready for this type of battle? The good thing is we have an anchor at center with Mitch Morse, who is going to be there right by both their sides and ready to help out any way he can against Chris Jones, because they're going to need it. And we have Spencer Brown and Deion Dawkins. I mean, Deion Dawkins, he's had a very good year. Spencer Brown has blown out every expectation that anybody could have imagined that he would have had this
Not
year.
Mine. I mean, we've talked about this. I expected it from him.
But, I mean, it's nobody would have expected this, though. I mean, like, he has played phenomenal.
We were a little worried it wasn't going to happen.
He has shut down edge rushers this year. I mean, he's cut down on the penalties. I mean, it's been phenomenal. So I think our line can. I truly think we can. I mean, Karlaftis and Brown's going to be a hell of a matchup. And then Chris Jones against the entire interior offensive line for us is going to be a hell of a matchup as well. But I definitely think we have the guys that can do it.
You know, they're probably going to move Chris Jones around. So it's going to be on the entire offensive line's job to know where he is stop him or at least slow him down. I do think probably because of Chris Jones and Karlaftis, we might see a little bit more of Murray on the field because of his blocking abilities. Now, Ty Johnson's actually done a pretty well job at pass blocking also, but I think that's probably more Murray's forte there. So I wouldn't be shocked if we see a little bit more of that on the field, especially if we do get into a situation where we have to get in, come from behind and protect Josh. But before we get on to the next, there's another player I want to talk about. Before we get into that, I just want to, again, all of those that are listening, and whether you're listening live or the podcast later on, thank you for supporting the show. And check us out, Facebook page at the Mafia Cast. Go check it out. Give us a follow there. And, of course, follow all of us on Twitter. There's another guy. Kind of didn't really make his debut last weekend, but he really played. He showed out. And there was a lot of people commenting on Twitter after his pass interference down close to the goal line. I think you guys know who I'm talking about. I saw people like, get him off the field. He's done. He's washed. He's a bust, this, that, and the other. And then the very next play, he makes that interception. And I know a lot of people don't take much stock in Pro Football Focus grades or whatever, but he is actually one of the top five graded Bills defensive players in this game. And including even his run defense was pretty high. I don't remember the exact score. Is this the moment, was last week the moment where Kyrie Elam kind of maybe flipped that switch and maybe he's somebody that we can actually count on? And going into, you know, next season, we're looking at a four deep corner situation. If he has to take the field, are you guys confident in him? I'll start with you, Nate.
Yeah, I mean, short of a game that I thought the Bills, nobody really played well against in London, he is the exact player that he was last year, that he was in the playoffs for them last year. He was an integral part of them winning that Dolphins game. And I don't know. I think he's absolutely fine when he's out there. And I think, in fact, I think they he gives them a little bit more versatility to play more man coverage in two under or you know, like the two man, then, you know, I even think some of the other guys, it just, Christian Benford's become such a great, reliable piece to this team. Obviously, yeah. Rasul Douglas is, you know, your CB1 right now. You don't know what's going to happen with Trey White in the future. And Dane Jackson, just every time he's called upon, answers the toll and answers the bell. And is a guy that is a veteran that you can believe in and trust in. And that's got value in the league. So I think just by, you know, a pure numbers perspective, he ends up always sort of being the odd man out. But listen, if Kyrie Elam has to play, you know, snaps, has to play quality snaps in this game or in any of these playoff games, he's given me no reason not to believe that he can go out there and execute and play at a high level and make plays out there. And you know, he's a little bit to be desired in the physical game. He's not an overly physical run defender and isn't always the most willing tackler. But it's very rare you find that guy grossly out of position. He's always kind of in the right position. And if he gets a penalty, he's able to bounce back and on the next play, you know, make a play, which we saw on Monday. So, yeah, I'm totally confident if Kyrie Elam has to play meaningful snaps this Sunday, it really would not it wouldn't put me in a bad place.
Yeah.
So the way I have a question for you, Nate. So next year we'll have just off the whim, and Tre'Davious White, Rasul Douglas, Christian Benford, and Kyrie Elam, and Taron Johnson. Do you expect that to be the cornerback room next year, or do you expect one of those guys to be off the team?
I would expect that probably to be the room. I don't know what you're going to be able to expect from Tre'Davious White. It wouldn't surprise me at all if they bring back Dane Jackson. He's not going to be overly expensive, and this coaching staff trusts him when he's got to go out there. They trust him to make plays. So it wouldn't surprise me to see him back either. The same exact room back next year. Again, strictly because I don't know what fully to expect from a Tre'Davious White coming off of a, you know, an Achilles injury that can be really difficult to come back for anybody, much less a corner that really relies on that quick twitch and change of direction. So, Yeah, I would expect him to be back. I think with how much this team has experienced injuries at the cornerback position the last 2 years, they're not going to go out there and trade Kyrie Elam. They're not going to go out there and trade or release any of these guys. They want to have numbers at this position, and I think they should want to have numbers. They've pretty consistently proven that as long as they've got the depth behind your top two players, that they can really withstand any injury problems that happen throughout the season. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the top two. Who do you think that would be? Like, in a perfect world, who are the top two?
Benford and Douglas.
You guys,
I think
agree?
I think
Benford's been playing really well.
Benford is one of those guys you don't say his name a lot. And as a zone corner, that's what you want. You want a guy that isn't having big plays made against him and is just a consistent performer each and every week. He's a fantastic zone cover corner. And I think Rasul Douglas is a top seven, top eight corner in the league. I really do. I'm absolutely beside myself as to why the Green Bay Packers, a playoff team right now, a playoff team that just won the game, who struggled towards the end of the year defensively with Joe Barry as their defensive coordinator, would make a move like that, with especially with another year on his contract. Didn't make a lot of sense, but hey, their loss has been immensely the Bills game.
Yeah, those two guys, Douglas and Benford, their PFF grades are eighth. They're both tied, have the exact same grade on the regular season. Eighth best in the league, it's pretty impressive stuff there. And Dane Jackson coming off the bench when needed. You're right. He just always gets it done when he needs to. Casey, Mike, whichever one of you wants to go as far as the Kyir Elam thing, would you guys be comfortable as well? Like, you know, if Douglas or whoever has to come off the field and it's Elam out there, are you comfortable with that?
Kind of like when Nate said that he bounces back. That's what keeps me confident in him. Of course, we're a little worried because he doesn't have as much experience. We've seen a couple mistakes. We saw him get run over by Freiermuth, but he bounces back, but like, twice as much. He gets the pick. He gets the ball. He doesn't just start covering better, tackling better. You know, like, he's looking to take the ball away. So, I mean, as far as that, I mean, as long as, you know, we're not talking one play changing the game and him coming in right at the end, you know, if he's there to go from the start, I mean, I don't know about the duration of the game. If he could go the distance, but I do think he's a good player that, you know, if something does happen, he does pounce back and he can make the plays. So I'm not too worried about it. And I think he just needs that experience. And I think it's a progression thing. And, you know, the more experience he has, the less and less I think we'll see those mistakes.
So this game specifically, I'm more okay with him coming in and playing meaningful snaps, because this is a game where you're going to win. The Bills are going to win by stealing like a possession from the Chiefs, you know, keeping Patrick Mahomes off the field. And that's what Elam does best, is take the ball away. I mean, he was tied for the team lead in interceptions last year in his rookie year playing part time. So, you know, I was one of Elam's biggest fans when we drafted him, and I was one of his biggest haters in the beginning of this year. And, you know, he did not play well, you know, in the beginning of the year. He didn't. And I just called it how I saw it, you know, and like, maybe last week was it, you know, like Nate knows, in golf, sometimes you just need to hit one good shot. And all of a sudden, like, everything is just like, you remember how to play, and you just get it all back again. And I think that maybe last week that might've been it for Kyir, you know, and finally, you know, he just felt like that weight lifted off his shoulders. And like, now he can go out and play football again. Stop thinking so much about it and just go out and play football. Like Mike was talking about with Shakir, he's not thinking, he's not trying too hard. He's playing, not reacting.
Yeah. I do think the crowd might've lit a little fire too, because he got some heavy boos after he got trampled there. So I wonder if that got to him too, you know.
Well, there was that and the PI. And I thought it was kind of funny how I think it was Deontay Johnson was kind of getting in his face a little bit. And the very next play, he picks it off. That was
– Yeah, yeah.
I was happy for Elam. It's good to see. And maybe that ankle injury he suffered early in the season was the issue. Maybe that was the problem. And the same thing with Spencer Brown last year. Right. You know, he had the ankle, the back. I mean, you name it, whatever. Going forward, I think one of you, Casey, you mentioned keeping Mahomes off the field. I'm going to actually pivot off of that because of the Chiefs' defense. To me, that's a championship defense. Their offense, to Nate's point a while ago, if you're in a shootout, I trust the Bills more so in that. I would straight attack the Chiefs and try to just put up points on them quick. Let Mahomes come out on the field and see if they have the weapons to keep up, because I don't think they do. And that's one way you can make them one-dimensional. Take Pacheco out of the equation and go out there and get him. Yeah, I still want to incorporate the run. I'm not saying, you know, ignore the James Cook, whatever. But I'm just saying maybe use a little bit of up-tempo early on to kind of really put the pressure on the Chiefs and their offense. Because we saw week four, when we played the Dolphins, and there was kind of that back and forth. And I remember saying to my family here, it's like, we keep the pressure on Tua, he's going to falter. And that's what happened. We got to score ahead, and they had to keep up. We got to score ahead, and they had to keep up until eventually Tua couldn't do it. And I'm not saying that Mahomes is Tua. Don't get me wrong by that, by any stretch of the imagination. But I just don't feel like they have the horses to keep up. So I want to see them attack. I want to see some a little bit of up-tempo and put up some points really quick and put the pressure on Mahomes and that receiving core. Go from there. Mm-hmm. How many tackles does Taylor Swift get? You know, I made a joke earlier today with my wife, and I said, how cool would it be if they want to keep putting – because you know the camera's going to be on her. So it's my, you know, might as well just make some fun. Let's put Haley Steinfeld and Taylor Swift in the same suite together and just watch them go at it every time, you know, their respective boyfriends or whatever score. That add a little extra dimension to the game.
No, I like that Josh's girlfriend is not in the spotlight.
Yeah, I agree. They prefer it that way. Yeah. Gabriel here just jumped in. Can you guys touch on the injury report from today? Yeah, just really quick. It looks like Rasul Douglas is probably going to play. Terrell Dotson will probably play. And then Taron Johnson is probably going to play. Likely doesn't look good for Gabe Davis. Doesn't look good for Bernard. We'll know more tomorrow. If those guys don't practice tomorrow, then they're definitely not going to be there. But and then Roy Court Casey has horses on defense. I agree with that. I just feel like with the Bills' offense, there's just so many weapons that they have, and they're finally starting to understand how to use them and put them in positions to make plays. I just think that this offense can score on any defense right now. It's the playoffs. And how many times has Josh Allen been in the playoffs? And he just takes it to another level. Yeah, playoff Lenny, then there's playoff Allen, right? Like 2,500-plus yards in 9 games, 23 total touchdowns, only 4 picks in those 9 games. He's 5-4, but that's more about, in my opinion, the defense than it is him, obviously. I believe he's averaging close to 60 yards rushing in those 9 playoff games. He's just unstoppable in the playoffs. But you guys had anything else you wanted to add? Any thoughts, suggestions, keys to this game? What are you kind of looking for?
Well, that's what I was going to ask Nate. I was going to ask him, what's your biggest concern for the Bills this weekend? Like, how did the Bills lose other than beating themselves with penalties and turnovers?
I think Steve Spagnuolo is probably one of the more underrated defensive coordinators and play callers in the league. And, Dan Orlovsky did a great breakdown this week about Sean McDermott and how they did such a great job this week against the Steelers, disguising coverages and, starting in one look and then, post-snap, breaking into other looks, but doing it in a way, that forces the offense to change the rules of a specific play. So it may not be a full change in coverage, but just changing on who lines up where, or starting with 7 guys in the line of scrimmage and backing off. And I think that will be a huge one of these quarterbacks. Both of these quarterbacks make mistakes. They throw interceptions. They put the ball in harm's way, but that's part of what makes them so unique is they're willing to make plays that, 30 other quarterbacks in the league just simply put aren't capable of making. So I think for me, Steve Spagnuolo, can he create enough confusion and coverage pre to post snap to convince Josh he's seeing one thing and show another. So that to me, I as much as this is, we talked about the Mahomes versus Allen and the Andy Reid versus Sean McDermott is, I think the Allen versus Spagnuolo matchup, Spagnuolo's gotten the better of Josh Allen a couple of times, but I think Josh Allen's also gotten the better of this Kansas City defense several times. Obviously last 2 years ago in the playoffs is, Josh's maybe greatest claim to fame and one of the best performances we've ever seen from a quarterback, just to be outdueled on the other side. But this is a Bills defense that has done a tremendous job against Kansas City in the regular season. That has changed. Mm-hmm. Something has changed in the postseason. The Kansas City's, I think, got a 40 points per game against Sean McDermott in the playoffs. That's going to be something that definitely has to change this week. I don't think there's any real chance that if Kansas City scores 30 or 40 that the Bills are going to win this football game. So, you know, can these defensive coordinators disguise? Can they, you know, and can they have the players to disguise? You know, you're not going to be out there disguising lots of coverages with third stringers or Cam Lewis, you know, at slot corner instead of Taron Johnson, or you know, having to play, you know, Kyrie Elam. So they got to get healthy, and they've got to have their starters in the lineup. And if they can do that, then I think they can do some things pre and post snap to try to get the ball back in the hands of Josh Allen on the offense. And if you remember, AJ Epenesa has that big tipped interception early in that football game to steal a possession. They didn't end up scoring on that possession, but that's going to be big too. Is if you can't get to this guy, getting your hands in the passing lanes is going to be hugely important in this game.
Yeah, it is. I was going to go in a different certain direction, and I've already forgot what that direction was going to be. that happens sometimes with my old brain. Casey, no. Mike, what about you? What do you guys think as far as, I mean, Casey, you asked that question. What's your opinion? What's your thought on that? What, outside of, like you said, the obvious things, you know, what concerns you? What can the Chiefs do that might get them this W?
The Chiefs, like, doing what the Chiefs do best, and that's Patrick to Kelce. I mean, Kelce lives in the middle of the field. You know, he, like, it's amazing. He just knows, he sees his zone. He's able to find a soft spot, sit down, and Mahomes finds him immediately. And with Bernard more likely than not being out, down Milano, like it scares me. I mean, we know Dodson isn't the world's best pass coverage linebacker, you know, and the fact that he's going to be our number one linebacker this week. Klein, he's, you know, same as Dodson. He's not the world's best pass coverage. He can get the job done, but they're no Terrell Bernard or Matt Milano. So the middle of the field on pass coverage is what scares me most. I wouldn't be surprised to see this team get into a little bit more of the dime coverage and bringing in Rapp if he's healthy, or even Cam Lewis to try to, you know, work on and do more so of a double directly right onto Travis Kelce just to take away the middle of the field.
Right, because I feel like they can't rely on, you know, many of the other players like they can Kelce. I mean, even though we do think he has taken a step back, he still is a good piece of their offense. But yeah, aside from that, we were talking about Pacheco earlier, and like I said, I've seen our team get beat around the edge multiple times this year. And what really worries me is the fact that we've already beat them once. You know, I think it's harder to sweep them than, you know, to lose one and win the next one. Absolutely. I'm always on board with that theory. So, I mean, tough to completely sweep them, but I think we're definitely capable of doing it.
The key to that, though, is the fact that we already beat them in their house, and now they have to come to our house to do it in the playoffs for the first time. We can't forget, this truly is Patrick Mahomes' first road playoff game.
Yep.
He's never played in front of Bills Mafia.
Yeah.
The outside fan can say what they want. Fans and the stadium make a difference. They make it impossible for, you know, the call to be heard in the huddle, to the cadence to be heard at the snap. So if Bills Mafia can show up too and be loud as hell and just do what we do and just do our part and throw them off as little bit as we can, you know, every little bit helps. You know, we have to take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Nate, was there something you wanted to add?
Yeah, no, I think it's spot on. I think that, you know, it is sort of just a crazy concept to me that, you know, Patrick Mahomes has not played on the road in the playoffs yet in his career. And, you know, that all changes. And, You know, I think that the Bills and Bills Mafia will be a huge, will be hugely important to this game for communication, both on offense and the defensive side of the ball, pre to post snap. So, I think that, you know, I look at this game and I think about a couple of things is, you know, I know you mentioned Travis Kelce is he did not play particularly well last week, a couple of bad drops. He just has not looked like himself this year. And I think a lot of it had to do with injuries coming out of preseason. And he had that sustained that knee injury. It looked like it could have been bad. It ended up just being a hyperextension and a bone bruise, missed a game, and has not really looked like the same player that I think we're accustomed to seeing. Listen, he's 33, 34 years old. His brother just retired. It's very possible that this could be Travis Kelce's last game, you know, in a Chiefs uniform, which would be pretty remarkable to say the least. So, all in all, I listen, this is a legacy type game, and a narrative type game. You know, the Bills lose this game and they can't seem to get past Patrick Mahomes, even with an old Travis Kelce and an offense that really hasn't scored more than 30 points any more than a couple of handful of times this year. And this is a hugely important game for this franchise and getting over the hump. And it does not like it gets much easier next week, though. They're gonna have to face either a blazing hot Houston Texans team, but I think more likely the Bills will be on the road in Baltimore and yeah, or whoever, you know, wins that game on Sunday. And that's no easy task, but it's a great opportunity. And I'm super excited for the game. It should be a great game.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a good one. We're going to do here some score predictions here, but I also want to predict the remaining games as well. Before we do that, if you're listening, please hit the like on YouTube, Facebook, wherever you're at, hit the like button. We appreciate that support. As far as the upcoming games, let's start with, as you mentioned, the Houston and Baltimore. And we'll go around really quick, start with Casey. Who's going to win that game? You don't have to give scores, just your thoughts on the winner.
You know how bad I want to say Houston.
You and every Bills fan out there.
But it's not even, it has nothing to even do with that. It's just the story of Houston. Like a rookie quarterback, a rookie head coach. You know, nobody like had tape on them this year. You know, so I like, it's one of those things like, oh my God, you know, I mean, storybooks do happen. And we've seen the 9-7. Team beat an undefeated team in the Super Bowl. You know, we've seen crazy, crazy things happen in the NFL. I think the Ravens are going to ultimately end up winning this football game. I mean, I think they finally have the weapons outside of Mark Andrews and Lamar Jackson to where they, like, a team can't just focus 1-2 on those guys, where that Lamar can spread the ball around and their offense is high quality enough to where I think they're going to win the game.
What about you, Dad? Nate?
Go ahead.
For me, I'm going to stick to a criticism that I've had for the last 2 weeks. I'm going to take the Texans. And the reason I'm going to take the Texans is because I think it was a huge mistake to rest their starters in week 18 and then have the bye week and have 2 weeks of rest. It's just a really long time in the NFL to not play football. And I think Houston's playing a brand of football right now. They're playing complimentary. I think their quarterback CJ Stroud is, you know, a shoe-in for rookie of the year. I still think that he should have, you know, I mean, I know the end of the season and some of the injuries took him out of the MVP conversation, but I think he was a real candidate to win MVP. But I think Nico Collins and CJ Stroud and Dalton Schultz and Devin Singletary, and a really good offensive line, give them as good a chance as anybody, to win on Saturday. So I like Houston to go on the road and upset the Ravens.
Nice. Okay. Mike,
I got to stick with the Ravens just cause you know, I feel like, you know, that's the easy answer, I guess. But I guess I lost hope for the whole storybook thing when Flacco and the Browns got crushed and they were out. So I moved on from that sort of take. And I just think the Ravens are the better team and they're going to do it.
All right. I'm going to make it 50-50 here. I'm going to go with Nate on this one and take the Texans. I was actually covering the Texans before the season started, as you guys know. And I liked what I saw at that time. And the offense is way better than people thought that they would be. Defense isn't bad either. I agree. I think there's going to be an upset. We're running short on time, so really quick, let's get to the next game. my gosh. What's the next one? San Francisco and Green Bay. I'll start with Nate on that one.
San Francisco. I think they're a wagon. And I know – listen, Jordan Love is playing some of the best football in the NFL, but I think San Francisco is just too good. And I think they're on a collision course with the Super Bowl. So give me San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Casey?
San Fran. Well-oiled machine. I think they've been the best, most consistent team in football throughout the entire year.
Yeah. I don't think there's any really any argument here. they are the Super Bowl destined team. They're the other than the Eagles, which obviously fell off. They are the team that you were expecting to see representing the NFC in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I'm going to stick with San Francisco as well. Yeah. The other game, Tampa Bay and Detroit. Mike, who you got?
Oh, I'm just see this one plays on my emotions a little bit because back to that crap. I'm really a big fan of Dan Campbell. I think he's a great coach, and I just love what the Lions are doing. I want to see them do it. I'm rooting for them, so I'm just gonna say them.
Nate,
I'm gonna follow my heart instead of my mind here. My mind tells me that Tampa is going to go down there the way that Baker Mayfield's been playing and that Tampa defense is rallied towards the end of the year. But I'm going to go with my heart. I'd love to see Detroit in the NFC Championship game. What a story that would be. And you know, I'm rooting for Jared Goff. I think Jared Goff is, an underrated and often maligned quarterback that's played really well this year, had a career year. So, yeah, give me Detroit at home and you know, head to San Francisco for what I think would be just an awesome NFC Championship matchup.
Yeah. One thing about Goff is he really protects the ball, right?
He does. He does protect the ball. Yeah, and as long as he doesn't get pressure in his face, he does a great job of protecting. But that's a lot of quarterbacks. So
yeah,
I'm going to go Detroit. I think they are the storybook team. The way that they came from nothing, you know, traded away their lifelong best quarterback ever in Matthew Stafford, you know, and for Jared Goff, got Dan Campbell in there, built this team from the ground up. I think Detroit's going to get it to the NFC Championship.
And I'll make it a clean sweep. Detroit as well is going to win that. All right, this one you got to give the score. Of course, we know Bills versus Chiefs. Nate, who you got and what's the score?
Well, I think it's important for me to remain consistent and provide everyone with the reverse jinx that they're going to need. I'm going to take the Chiefs. I'm going to check the Chiefs 24, Bills 23. So that way, when I'm for sure wrong, we can all look back and say, thank God Nate picked the Chiefs.
I will gladly thank you.
Oh, thank God, because I was thinking about doing the same thing, Nate. I'm glad
you took the bet, Casey.
No bets.
No parlays for Casey.
Yeah, we're not doing that again. I'll throw mine in there really quick. I'm going to take Buffalo 23-21, last-second field goal. Casey, what you got?
27-24 Bills on a walk-off.
Wow, 27-24. We're all right around the same page.
Yeah, we're all close. All close games.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say we're winning by a whole touchdown. We're going to close out the game and just score a touchdown. It's going to be tied, and we're going to score. And the Bills are going to win 27-20. How about that?
All right. We're going to get out of here. Nate, we appreciate you coming really quick. Kind of let
my pleasure,
know where
fellas.
They can find you.
Yeah, at Nate Geary Sports on Twitter. I'll be doing all pregame and halftime and overtime show on Sunday and hopefully talking about a Bills win.
Hopefully, yes. Appreciate you coming on. Like I said, if you're listening, please give us the thumbs up, subscribe, share, and we're going to get on out of here. And yes, the Mafia Cast, we also do a halftime show. Casey, I don't know if he's going to be there. Mike, hopefully you're there with me.
Maybe.
If not,
see what I'm up to. I should be glued to the TV.
My daughter, regardless, will be with me. So, you know, it'll be me and somebody else. Cool. We're going to get out of here. We'll see you all next week. Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Go Bills. Tell your friends.